Hello, everybody. Ella J here on behalf of WrestleZone. And today I am joined by the Adelaide Powerhouse Delta. How are you today?
Hello, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to be talking with you, Delta. You have just such a rising career on your hands. You've been in the game a short amount of time, but your name has popped up quite a lot, I will say, and especially heading into this event, which we'll talk about now. Mickie James is hosting an all-women's pay-per-view from Ballarat, Australia. You have a marquee match on the card itself. Before we talk about your match itself, what was your initial reaction upon hearing the news that the legendary Mickie James was bringing an all-women's event to Australia, and what does this mean to you?
It was sort of like a, oh shit, this is happening. Or it was more so like, is this really happening? And then once you look into it and look at it on the social media, yeah, it's very, very cool. And I think it gives a lot of opportunity for all of us women to wrestle on an all-women's show with wrestlers that have wrestled all around the world, and especially for it to be presented by Mickie James. That's just, yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, like you said, this event is going to have women from all over the world. It's definitely a great opportunity for the Australian, natives to get more exposure. We also have TNA representatives coming in, AAA. We got GC, Steph DeLander's kind of everything going on. But your match specifically, I mean, what talk about marquee matches. You've already held gold, multiple championships in your career, but I think this has elevated stakes. You will be challenging Jordynne Grace for the TNA Knockouts Championship. What are your thoughts heading into this match, and what do you think fans can expect from you two?
I think this match is definitely, I'd say, easily the biggest match of my career. And Jordynne Grace, I mean, she's a big name, but a big woman. I'd like to consider myself a big woman too. So, if you just go onto the social media where we got announced that we were having our match, it's just everybody saying that this is just going to be a big meaty women slapping meat, and that's exactly what I expect from this match. Both her and I are very intense wrestlers, so yeah, it's going to be a match that nobody wants to miss.
You said the lie that I was going to say myself. I mean, you have powerhouse in your nickname. Jordynne Grace is obviously the juggernaut. You're both jacked and powerful, beautiful women. This is going to be one that I think, I mean, it is rightfully so kind of the main event of the, I believe it's the main event. And if it's not, it should be, I will say. What a huge opportunity. And I don't think people are ready for this in a good way when I say this. I'm really, really excited. And obviously, with this, not only you're facing Jordynne Grace, but it's for the TNA Knockouts Championship. You're no stranger to gold, of course, but what a win it would be if you not only defeated Jordynne Grace, but won the Knockouts Championship. What would that mean for you, your career, to win this Knockouts Championship?
Well, see, this year, my goal is to go international. I haven't left Australia yet, so I don't know. Winning this knockout championship just might be my golden ticket.
I think so. I'm so curious. Australia, for me, I'm very well immersed in the Australian wrestling scene. I think it's a gem. It's a diamond in the rough that I think is going to be getting more exposure. But as you're kind of looking outside of Australia, what places and countries are you hoping to expand your name to in the future, since you mentioned it?
Definitely America. I think that's the first one that I feel everyone gravitates towards too. But if I get any opportunities in Japan or the UK, I'm gonna take them. So really anywhere, I'm happy.
I am so excited for this. And obviously, we have a whole stacked card. We obviously have Tennille Dashwood is coming back home to Australia facing Jessica Troy. We have a triple threat for the Reina de Reinas Championship, Erica Reed versus Lizzie Evo, Mickie James versus Alicia Fox, Vix Crow. There's so many matches on this card that I am looking forward to. Besides yours, though, is there a certain matchup on this card that you're particularly looking forward to, and why?
I'd say, I mean, I've never got to see Mickie James wrestle live, so that's definitely something with her and Vix Crow. Also, Erica Reed and Lizzie Evo. That's for the OPW Women's Championship. And I've seen Erica Reed wrestle, and she's a chaotic woman, but in the best way possible. So you can expect good things from that match. So it's hard to pick from such a good card, to be honest. Even Jessica Troy. I wrestled Jessica Troy, and she's such a great wrestler, and she always just brings entertainment. So you can expect good things from so many matches.
Yeah, and there, like we said, there's a lot of names on this card, not only from Australia. Like we said, we have TNA representation. We have obviously AAA, but there's also two other legendary names that are also going to be there. Bull Nakano, and Victoria is also having a six-pack named after her. You know, Mickie James is already leading the charge. But I mean, what are your thoughts on, I mean, knowing you're going to be performing in front of three legends, Victoria, Bull Nakano, and Mickie James?
Look, it's a little nerve-wracking to just show what you have in front of such great talent that has probably seen everything. But I'm very sure of myself, and I'm very confident that I'll be able to show up and show out. So it'll be a great time, but I'm very confident.
That is so good to hear, you know, and talking about from one confident woman to another, another Adelaide native as well, Rhea Ripley. You obviously, she is huge. She just main evented, you know, in Australia. We had Elimination Chamber very, very not too long ago. You recently credited her with changing the game for Australian wrestlers. So can you kind of elaborate on that and talk about the influence that Rhea has not only had on the Australian wrestling scene, but female performers specifically, like you mentioned?
Yeah, well, anytime that an Australian can go out and just showcase their abilities to such a range of eyes, just on screen, like Rhea Ripley, it brings back eyes back to the scene that they came from, which is Australia, Adelaide, and Riot City Wrestling. So, not only has she gone out and represented us, but she's done it so well, and I think because of how great of a wrestler she is, it just really reflects back on us and just shows that, hey, we're really good, and Australia is just a whole nother breed. So yeah, just going out there and with doing what she's done, it's just made us look so much better.
I absolutely agree. I think Australia again has had great representatives on a higher card, but obviously you guys are going to be able to show, you know, the current performers in the Aussie wrestling scene are going to be able to showcase themselves, not only on her. I mean, we also have the Australian Stampede as well. There's going to be a bunch of Australian bred talent on there as well throughout the entire StarCast weekend. For those who don't know, it's a 4-day event, April 11th through 14th. There's obviously her. There's also the Australian Stampede. And, you know, since we're talking about it, you have received some comparisons to Rhea Ripley, and I definitely see that, but in your early career, maybe you've heard this, I don't know, I also see some kind of resemblance to China a little bit before you donned your red hair. So what do you think of some of these comparisons that you've gotten to people like Rhea and China?
I mean, they're both strong, badass women, so it's a great comparison. I love to be compared to wrestlers like those two. Yeah, it's a good confidence boost when I'm just going out there and I'm just being me, doing what I'm doing, and I get compared to great wrestlers and great figures.
I'm so curious for you. You know, you've been in the scene. This is going to be your fourth year coming up now. Who are some performers and wrestlers that you found yourself gravitating to before you took that leap to become a wrestler yourself? I'm so curious of who you gravitated towards.
Well, before I started wrestling, I didn't watch wrestling at all. So who got me into wrestling was my brother, Dean Brady. He had been wrestling in the business for about 5 years at that point. And so in his fifth year, he had a big championship match. It was a tables, ladders, and chair match. And so he wanted his family to come watch. And it was the first time watching wrestling live, first time actually properly watching wrestling. And yeah, my mind was blown. So I didn't start gravitating towards any wrestlers until I was actually in the wrestling scene. And so one person would have been my brother. There's another one, Matt Grimbasso from Riot City Wrestling. He's like a big, tall Viking. So he was like the person that I gravitated towards because he was just such a cool looking person to look at. And then obviously to watch wrestling as well. So those are the people that I gravitated towards.
Well, I suppose the athleticism runs in the family, I guess. did you have other, what were your aspirations before you really got into wrestling? I'm so curious, or what did your athletic background look like?
I didn't have a big athletic background. I did a little bit of netball in high school. I did a bit of roller skating when I was younger. But not really a big athletic background. It wasn't until I decided that I wanted to be a wrestler that I just knew that I had to get myself into a good physical shape.
What was the vision for little Delta then when she got older? What did she want to do for a living when she got older?
When I was younger, I wanted to be a veterinarian because I really, really love animals.
Yeah.
But as I grew older, I realized that it's kind of a sad job, which I don't want to do. And I guess I kind of wanted to be somewhat in the entertainment business. For most of my schooling years, I was a musician. So I really wanted to do that when I got out of school. Never did, but I knew that I wanted to be in the entertainment business. So I saw the theatrical and the performance side of wrestling. And at the same time, I was always very, like, my brother and I used to fight all the time physically and wrestle. So I was a very, like, physical person. So mixing performance and physical, it was just perfect for me.
Yeah, it's perfect. You know, maybe you can revisit that musical talent. You know, you never know down the line. It is entertainment. So, but yeah, it sounds like a perfect blend for you, you know, showcasing your athleticism and your strength, but also having the creative freedom to express yourself in the ring. And in-ring work itself is also an art form. So it just seems like it's kind of a match made in heaven. So we can thank your brother for that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like we mentioned earlier, you're donning this gorgeous bright red hair here today. Early on in your career, though, you had this brooding, powerful presence, and you've maintained that same presence and attitude, but you have since changed your hair, like we said, to this bright red hair. Talk about the decision to go from the dark. You had a little bit of blonde at the top too as well. Talk about that decision to change your hair and maybe perhaps the significance behind it.
I was rocking a split dye. It was on the top was black, and then at the front and underneath it was blonde. I was dyeing my hair myself, so I was also bleaching my hair myself, and it just got to a point where the blonde part, it just broke off. It all broke off. And I don't know, ever since I was 15, I wanted to dye my hair red. I just felt that I would look good with red hair. I think we started a new year. It might have been 2022, I believe.
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know what, new year, I'm going to, and my hair's dying, so I'm just going to completely change it and dye my hair to a color that I've always wanted to dye it to. So, just felt like it. And my hair's so much healthier now. It's not breaking, and I love it.
I think it is. It is more powerful too. I feel like, you know, dark red can be kind of intimidating. It's also like, you know, when you think of red, it's also kind of like warning, danger incoming. And I feel like that's who the Adelaide powerhouse is. So it kind of, there is a little bit of symbolism there too, I feel like, to it. And you do rock a good red look. So I will give
Thank you
credit there. You know, also another staple of your look is this, I mean, you sometimes change it up, but generally it's red, black, and white eye makeup. I don't know the symbolism behind it, but it is very, very cool. So does this makeup design symbolize something specifically to you, or what does this part of your presentation mean to you?
It doesn't symbolize anything. I just honestly, I just slap it on. I'm like, yep, this looks cool. I'm done. But I get a lot of inspiration from Pinterest. I just scroll and scroll and scroll until I sort of find something that I like. Sometimes I'll mash two different looks together, or I'll put my own twist on it. But usually it's just finding a photo on Pinterest and just kind of copying it. But yeah, so the black and the white, I had gear that was half black, half white. So I just wanted to kind of match it on my eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, it again, it kind of pulls everything together. And since we're kind of talking about within the ring gear department specifically, what are your general, maybe it is Pinterest, what are your general sources of inspiration when you're crafting and envisioning your ring gear designs? What does that process look like for you?
It's definitely Pinterest again. But I follow a lot of gear makers on Instagram. So usually I'll find the initial inspiration from Pinterest, and then I'll go to Instagram and just scroll through different gear makers and sort of look at the structure, how they've structured gear together. And so I just try and tie two and two together and make something of my own.
In Pinterest, I haven't used Pinterest in a long time, so correct me if I'm wrong. Do you look through certain hashtags or boards or genres when you're on Pinterest when you're looking for inspiration, or what is your typical Pinterest boards that you're gravitating towards kind of look like?
It started off with me just searching random things, and now because I've searched so much through Pinterest, things will just pop up like on my feed
to you. And
so if you like click on a certain photo, you can then scroll up and it then shows you more photos that related to the photo that you originally looked at. So it's just, I just go down a rabbit hole when I go on Pinterest.
That's fair. And in Pinterest, and I know Instagram is a lot of people's go-to, because again, there's so many creators on there and you can go down that rabbit hole, and obviously it's worked to your advantage. But you know, another big part of your character and presentation, obviously outside of your ring gear and your makeup and all of that, is, you know, your character, your identity in more of your presentation. So talk about the process of developing your identity in the ring from a character and presentation standpoint, and who Delta is as a character right now. Obviously, she's very powerful, very brooding. Tell us about the process of crafting your identity, though.
Yeah, so I've never really, from day one, I've never really put on a character. But I've always been told that when somebody doesn't know me and they meet me for the first time, or they see me across the room, they get intimidated by me. Just because I have like a resting bitch face, or I can be quite quiet sometimes, which can be mysterious to people. So I guess I sort of have used that and just kind of translated that and into the ring. But yeah, look, when I'm in the ring and I just stand tall and I'm just confident and sort of just turn on that intimidating face, I guess. Not that I use that in everyday life, but yeah, it's just some kind of zone that you get into, like when you're in the gym and you're trying to lift heavy weights and you're trying to feel like a badass, you just get into this zone. And so that's the same zone that I get into when I wrestle, and over time I've sort of perfected it and I've become more confident with myself. So it's just evolved to a better me over time.
Yeah, and like with anything, you know, once you find your footing and get more years, more reps, as they say, you get more, or you should get more confident anyways, you know. And you get to fine tune all these other things. You know, confidence is definitely one that, even just talking to you, you can see that you have that confidence in what you do and your character, but you also recognize that you're still evolving. So from that standpoint, you know, like we said, you're in your fourth year of wrestling now since your debut. We're in 2024. How else do you think you've grown as a person and as a competitor through your time in the sport / performance art so far?
I've definitely become more confident just as a person. Before wrestling, I was just very, I kept to myself. I was very quiet. But once I started wrestling, it really just brings you out of your shell. Like you just have to. You have to be a little bit over the top, a little bit dramatic. And wrestling just did that for me just in regular daily life. And on top of that, making new friends and just being able to just, you have to talk to a lot of people in wrestling and a lot of people that you don't know. So you have to learn to be better in conversation, which I wasn't before wrestling. So, wrestling's just made me a better person, more confident person, not to be afraid of myself, afraid to be myself, sorry. So, yeah, it's just made me a better person.
Yeah, and talking to people, communication, especially with your coaches and trainers, especially in the development period, early stages of your career, is definitely really key. And you recently mentioned that Adelaide has some of the best coaches and trainers. So tell us about some of the people who've influenced you from a training and developmental standpoint.
Yeah, so our main coaches at Riot City Wrestling is Matt Grimbasso, Chris Basso, you've got Zach Sabbath, you've got Matt Hayter, Nick Armstrong, Katie Trey, my brother, Dean Brady. You've also got Mike Boomer as well. All of those people have had a helping hand in growing me as a wrestler. My brother, I think he's got 50% of my knowledge, maybe even more. He started teaching me wrestling before I actually trained as a wrestler. So yeah, a lot of people in Riot City Wrestling have influenced me heavily. And yeah, I'd say definitely Dean Brady and Matt Grimbasso influenced me the most, but Chris Basso is such a great wrestler and such a great trainer.
You talk about learning from so many people throughout Adelaide. I feel like you recently had a very valuable learning opportunity when you got to face again another wrestling veteran, Mercedes Martinez, at NHPW Global Conflict 2024. Tell us about that experience. You defeated and you actually won the whole thing in the end. Tell us about that experience though of working with Mercedes Martinez.
She's a great person to work with. I didn't get to sit down and chat with her much, but just from the little that I got to talk to her, she's got such a great brain with wrestling. She's just like everything that you do in the ring just has so much meaning. And just, yeah, she has such a great psychology, such great psychology when it comes to wrestling. And just, yeah, every little thing just has so much meaning. And it where you do it, at what point in the match, like how you carry yourself, it's just, yeah, everything. So just the little that I got to talk to her, I got to learn a lot. And wrestling her was such a great time. And she actually won the match out of her and I, but she got injured from it, so she couldn't continue the tournament. So by default, I had to take over and wrestle Lena Cross and got to end up winning the whole tournament.
Wrestling, unfortunately, good and also bad thing. Wrestling, has that inherent risk of injury, but what a valuable, opportunity to work with her. And also, because she carries what, about 25 years of experience, which is, and she's still doing the dang thing, which is amazing. In looking back on whether it's Mercedes or your trainers, so far, like we said, you're still in this developmental period, but is there a certain piece of advice or words of wisdom that have really stuck with you that you recall?
Oh my God. I've gotten so much over the years.
That's a good thing.
Look, I think the most consistent one is, because you can get so much nerves before a match, like minutes before a match, it just all hits you and you just realize like, oh, I'm about to go out there and I'm about to have a match with so and so. So just at the end of the day, you know your abilities, you know who you are, you know why everybody loves to watch you, just go out there and be the person, be the wrestler that everybody knows you to be. Because it's so easy to doubt yourself, especially minutes before a match. You're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but you do. It's just the nerves just getting to you. And it always works out in the end. When you just go out there and you do your thing, it all works out.
But also nerves show that you care at the same time that you're passionate about, you care about what you're doing. You know, as they say, if you don't care, then, you know, you're not passionate about it. So it's a good thing, you know, and it's natural, you know. And two more questions for you. You know, you mentioned earlier, obviously, you're hoping to venture outside of Australia to the States, to the UK, Japan. What are some of your other personal and professional goals for the next year or two?
I mean, definitely make a bigger name for myself, but for the current wrestling companies that I'm wrestling for, I'd like to help elevate them. Since I'm growing my name and I'm also champion of these companies, so I'd like to, as the champion, I'd like to help grow these companies to the best of my ability. And even if I'm still a champion when I venture out, hopefully then I can then grow them by venturing out and just being like, hey, I wrestle for these people. And now I'm wrestling here and just making a bigger name for myself and a bigger name for the wrestling companies.
Yeah. I think you hold at least three right now, maybe four. How many titles are you currently holding right now? I know at least three.
Yeah. So currently it's three. So it's the Riot City Wrestling Grand Championship Melbourne City Wrestling Inter Commonwealth Championship and Women's Championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are a dual champion there, as they say, Delta 2 belts there, which is really exciting, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, looking ahead, like we said, you have an opportunity to add a fourth belt to your collection as you face Jordynne Grace at the All Women's Her event on April 12th, led by Mickey James. What a card. Before we let you out of here, do you have a final message that you would like to deliver to Jordynne Grace, your upcoming opponent?
Ooh. Well, Jordynne Grace, she is a big, intense wrestling figure. So I just want her to bring the exact brute force that she brings in every match, because it's going to be matched by Delta.
I am so looking forward to this, you know, meaty women slapping meat, as they say. I think that's the phrase. I'm really looking forward to this powerhouse versus powerhouse. Before we let you go, let the listeners know where they can find you on social media.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter, Delta Brady. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Delta Pro Wrestler. You can also find me on any Riot City Wrestling Facebook page, Instagram, even on YouTube. We post our shows for free. Same with Melbourne City Wrestling. We put our shows out on Fight TV. Might also be another show as well. But you can just find me anywhere in Australia, because that's where I'm wrestling.
Delta pretty much is everywhere all over Australia. A great follow her. Follow her on Instagram, Twitter, everything. And obviously, don't forget to tune into the upcoming Her event. It's going to be airing on Triller TV. Not sure if it's going to be live or on a delay yet at the time of recording this, but nevertheless, be sure to tune in, because Delta is going to be challenging Jordynne Grace, and the card itself is really stacked. So I'm really looking forward to this. Delta, thank you so much for chatting with me here today, and I'm looking forward to this event you have coming up.
Thank you for having me. I'm also looking forward to the event.